Let's bring you back to your education and grade school. You went to what grade?
I went to Carver Elementary. At the time, we were still segregated. So I went 1 through 6 through a segregated school. It was called Carver Elementary. And then my rest of my education was in the Enid school system with Emerson Junior High and then Enid High. Everybody had to go to Enid High.
When did that segregation come in?
It was right in 1960, around 60.
So you were in, is that when you went to Enid High School?
No, I went to the junior high then. Yeah,
it was in junior high they segregated.
Yeah,
I mean,
that became integrated. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember it vividly.
Was that tough? Was that?
It was difficult, I think, more for the boys than me, than girls, because I don't know that, I don't know if it's our personality, women at the time, you just maybe took things maybe easier. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was wonderful. And the children, you know, children are children. And they don't act out at all, you know, unless grown people get involved with it. So they were just, we were all there together, and it was a wonderful experience. Matter of fact, one of the girls that I went from junior high to high school, we even went to college together, you know, and so it was an easy experience. I'm gonna put it like that. And then the music, I got involved with the choir. I tell you what, I was gonna be an instrumentalist. I played the violin. I got into the section, and I just realized something told me. I said, "Can I change? I don't want to do the violin anymore." and they said, "Well, yeah, okay, we're gonna put you with the choir." So is that amazing? I wouldn't have been this opera singer. I would have been a violin. Boy, but something told me to just, and they let me change. Wow.
I took violin for about 2-3 lessons, and the string broke, so I quit.
You said that's it?
I quit.
Yeah. So anyway, that was, I don't know if that was divine intervention or what.
Well, that choir director, who was that?
Oh. I call her my other mother. That was Miss Maureen Preeby. She was the choir director in high school, the Enid High School. And she had wanted to sing opera, and she had gone to New York and studied and everything. And because her mother didn't want her to leave Oklahoma, she came back from New York and became a school teacher.
So then she introduced you to opera.
Yes, she did.
Did she show you something?
Oh, she had me listen. I'll tell you how that happened. I was in choir and just singing. I was singing the lower voice. And that girl that I'm talking about that went through junior high, she was sitting next to me as a mezzo, I guess you call altos. And so I could hum along and sing these high notes, and I would hum under my breath while the sopranos were singing. So she couldn't get these sopranos to do this really high note. And so the girl next to me, Marilyn, said, "Leona can do it." And I could have killed it. I went, "What?" And so that began, and she heard me, and she heard my voice, and she went, and you know what? I listened later, John. She made some 78s, and I listened to one of her opera arias that I became famous for, and our voices were really similar.
Oh, really?
I get chills, yes. And she, you know what? She was such a beautiful soul. Now, the kids would beg to differ about that, because she was a real stickler, but to me, she would take me to teach me this opera. She'd come pick me up every morning at 7 o'clock before school to teach it to me.
Oh, wow.
Let me just jump forward. As I went early, you know, in my career at the Met, but she came there. She didn't like to fly, but she came and she flew, and she cried all night. Because that could have been her. And
But then to see that,
oh my God,
that
to see her dream, yes.
And to see, know that she had introduced you.
Yes, this was amazing to her.
Do you think if you had not been introduced by her to opera,
I wouldn't. Oh no,
no,
I would never have done it.
Because your
never.
Life.
Never. I was in gospel and I was not doing that at all. When I first heard opera, John, I went, "Oh my God, they sing like that? Oh, I wonder if I can do that." Yeah.
And so Maureen?
Maureen Preeby was my goddess. She was my goddess and my guide.
Wow.
And she directed me to come to OCU, to that teacher there. She had heard that Inez Silberg, that was my next lady in Oklahoma that got me to that next level.
So to be clear then, you went through grade school and junior high, and then it was in your last year of high school
that Maureen
introduced you to it.
Mm-hmm.
before you went off
yes.
to do anything. And maybe, you would have gone to college to become a professor.
I was going to college, and I was trying to decide I wanted to be an ambassador. I never heard of a black ambassador, but I don't know, something just told me I wanted to be an ambassador. I had had 3 years of Spanish in my Enid school system and 3 years of French, and I was very good in my languages. Isn't that something? But in my mind, I wanted to be an ambassador. Well, I became a real ambassador.
Yes, you did.
But anyway.
Absolutely.
So, I'm jumping ahead in the story.
So then you decided to go to what college?
Miss Preby physically drove me. I was going to go to Stillwater or Langston or somewhere, just a smaller college. But she drove me to audition to the music school in OCU.
Oklahoma City University.
And I had no idea. I had never been there on an audition. I didn't know what that meant. But she made me take that aria that she taught me and that duet from Aida. And I went and sang. And the Inez Silberg, she said, "Are you sure she's 17? And my voice was mature. "Are you sure she's 17? "Yes." And then she left the room, and I didn't know what had happened. I thought, okay, so I did this for Miss Preby. I guess that's it. And she came back with a whole music school to hear me. She said, "This is a special voice. I want everybody." She brought this everybody there. And she said, "There's no money. She's one of 15. I found out later at 50 years old that I was the first voice student that they had given a full scholarship to.
They gave you a scholarship?
A full scholarship to that, you know, very expensive school.
But you thought, I'm going to school. I can't pay for this.
Yeah, I didn't.
It must have dawned on you had a scholarship.
I just got it. It was a big deal.
Yeah. So
Enid, they actually, in the programs when I got that scholarship, they wrote up, "Well, she beat out the football player. She got the big scholarship." That was news to them. They didn't care about that offer, but they thought you beat.
They were going to give it to a quarterback.
Right, So anyway, that was cool.
Right.
That was really cool. But yeah, those two ladies in Oklahoma were instrumental in me becoming the opera singer that I became. They were very instrumental.
So then you graduated with a bachelor's in music.
In music, I suppose. Yes, but more than that, that education that I had at OCU, mind you, I was 21 or 22, and by 24, I was rehearsing at the Met.
Yep.
That's not ever done. I don't even know anybody that's done that. And it's like God had his hand in it, because that's all I can say.
Well, I believe that.
Because I believe it. It's just you know, it's not a road that a lot of people have been able to do. So.
No.
Yeah, my education at OCU helped me immensely, because I got to do operas there.
Yes.
I was the first opera that I saw, I was in. So cute that I was. The Figaro, and they had put me in costumes and everything. And I got to move on stage and have experience. And what an education I got at OCU.
Oh, that's right, because you'd just been singing for your teacher
and you'd never been in a performance before. No, and never really sang opera, and then I was in it. Oh, it was such an it was like Pandora's box for me. It was so interesting. Wow.